Okay, yesterday we left off with the machlokas between Rabbo and Rava, whether makom is a siman, or makom is a siman. We also saw machlokas Rashi and Tosfos what it means that makom is siman. Right, Rashi says you announce the makom and the person has to identify the aveda. So it says the other way around, you announce the aveda and you have to identify the makom. So that was machlokas and what siman means. Now the Gemara continues on Chav Gimel Amud Aleph on 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines down. Tashma, Kikarot Shel Nachtom, Arei Elu Shelo. If he finds baker's bread, they belong to him. Hashel Galabayit Chayv Lachris. It's the private or personal baked goods. Then you are Chayv Lachris. Shel Balabayit Mai Taima. What's the reasoning behind when you have bread from a Balabayit that you do have to announce it? Kaven the Itbehu Siman. Since they have some sort of uniqueness, identifying mark, right? The bread of a man belongs to that person. Each person has their way of making bread, has their unique characteristics to their bread, and therefore they can identify the bread, or you can identify it with the individual. So my says, doesn't matter. It's irrelevant where it's found, whether it's Rishut HaRabim or Rishut HaYachid. Notel umachriz. Alma siman, now we do a suah the deres, have a siman. Right, so this shows you that a siman, which normally gets trampled, is still considered, or eventually will get trampled, is still considered a valid siman. Tiyufto de rabo. It's a problem for rabo. So not only when we left off yesterday, the machlokas between rabo and rabo, with regards to whether makom is siman, we also had the machlokas whether siman omeid the deres. Siman that eventually will be eliminated. What's the status of that siman when it before it's eliminated? What is the yeyush abalim, or what's the psychology of the balim? Rava believes that a siman of suli deres is still a good siman, and you have to announce it if you find it. And then Rava believes that since it's eventually will be wiped out, therefore the balim do not rely on it. If they don't rely on it, then it's not a siman up front. So here we see from the diuk of this the price of that balabayit, kikarocha balabayit, the bread of a balabayit, since it has a siman on it, we don't differentiate between Rishut HaRabim and Rishut HaYachid, and we say there's a siman and you have to announce it. So that means in Rishut HaRabim, something that's going to get trampled has a siman on it, and we say, announce it. That's exactly like Rabba. So what's Rabba going to do? So it says, Amachla Rabba, Hoto Mainu Taimo, what's the reasoning by the bread? Shum de'ein mavirin ala ochlim. Not allowed to walk by ochel. What does it mean, ein mavirin ala ochlim? So Rashi says, ein vashai lavor lehem. You're not permitted to pass them by. Well, in Icham, you have to leave them there. You have to pick up the bread. Either because of what? Whether it's because of bal tashchit, right, or because of the fact that a person has to get a proper kavod to food that shouldn't right, be left out. So no Jew is going to walk by and let this food stay there. So because of that, the person who loses it, right, thinks that it's not going to be out there for very long. Because as soon as the Jew passes by, he's going to pick it up and take care of it. So the siman will last. It won't be any dress. Number one, because it's going to be picked up quickly. Now Rashi and Tosfos both say over here, when it means ein mavirin al ochlim, doesn't mean don't be doraced. People don't step on the ochel. It's nothing to do with not stepping on the ochel. It has to do that people don't pass the ochel by without picking it up. It says, well, not everybody's Jewish. What about the non-Jews who pass by who don't have that imperative to have to pick up the ochel? They might leave the ochel there, or they might actually step on the ochel. Second one says, Nachrim chayshel kshafim. The Nachrim worry about sorcery, witchcraft. They think that there is a spell of some sort, a curse on this food that's out there, and therefore they would be unwilling to step on it, because whoever steps on it receives that curse. And they, of course, will not pick it up. So because they won't pick it up and they won't stomp on it...
They won't ruin it either.
Right, they won't ruin the siman. If it still remains there, then the people or the Jews that go by will pick it up. It says, Vayika behema v'klavim. So what about their animals and dogs out there? There are other creatures that are interested in this bread besides human beings. So fine, we took care. Jews will pick it up. Now Jews won't touch it. Now, what about the animals? So Mara says, oh, no problem. Place where there aren't a lot of animals, so we don't worry about the animals walking off with the bread, who aren't concerned about kshafim, who aren't concerned about mavirin aloka, but they're not available, they're not there. So Mara says, let us say that these positions of Rabba and Rava are machloket tanai. How is this? Rav Yehuda Omer, kol davar sheish bo shinui chayav lachriz. It's our Mishnah, right? He says anything that has an unusual feature or characteristic to it, you have to be machriz on it. Ketzad, what's the situation? Matzah yigul ubetocho cheres. He binds a pressed figs, and inside the pressed figs is a piece of pottery. Kikar ubetocho maot. He has a loaf of bread, and inside of the loaf of bread there is a coin. So Michalal, the Tanakama savar Ariel Shalom. The Tanakama who argues, or Rabbi Meir, who's in the Tanakama Mishnah, says that he could keep these items. Now we don't consider these items to be a siman. Sabrua, so let us assume. So you know already how to answer the problem. The Gemara once says Sabrua is giving you hanachot, it's giving you the givens. Right? These are the information that is given, and then the machlokas will be this. So all you have to do to say that the machlokas is not this way, say one of those givens is incorrect, and that's what the Gemara will do. But given so far, kuli alma siman abame lav, right? That is siman that comes by itself, that is passively a siman that's passively oriented. Avi siman. Number two, given mavirin alo klin. People will pass by food; they don't feel compelled to pick up food that is lying out on the fruit. My lav. So what's the machlokes between them? The siman amsudi deres kamiflege. They're arguing about whether a siman that will be trampled in the future, whether that's a good siman or not. Marsavar lo abi siman, right? The Tanakhama believes it's not a siman, and that's why you don't have to give it back. Umarsavar abi siman, and Rabbi Yehuda believes that it is a siman, and that's why you have to give it back, because you have this unusual item inside the dveila, or inside the kikar. Since you have this unusual item, even though it might not have been placed there intentionally, it might have fallen there, but we still say a passive siman, a siman that happens by itself, is a good siman. And people will pass by ochel. Since they'll pass by ochel, it would be nitan lidareis. If it's nitan lidareis, right, then the only question between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda is whether siman and nitan lidareis is a good siman or not. So Amar Rav Zvid Mishmei de Rava. So Rav Zvid says in the name of Rava, I'm see here, Yisak adat chokatasavar Tanakamo, if you think the Tanakh believes siman asur lidareis, lo avi siman, just like Rabbo, if you believe the Tanakhama holds like Rabbo, that a siman that if we trample is not a good siman. Umavirna ochlim, and you pass by ochel, kikarocha balabait, b'shut rabim, amay machris. According to the Tanakhama, who says only kikarocha nachtom, you don't have to be machris. What about kikarocha balabait? There, why in b'shut rabim do you have to announce about them? It's a siman, hanitam nidiris, right? Because it's been out of b'shut rabim. Ah, you say it's ochel. We just said the assumption of the two part of the machlokas here is that both of them believe mavrin al ochlim, we're going to pass by the ochel. So if that's the case, right? Why do you have to be machriz about kikarocha balabayit b'shut rabim? Ela amar Rav Zvid Mishmei de Rava. The way to explain this mishnah is kuliyam masavre. Everybody holds siman ayusudi deres abe siman. Of course, Rav Zvid says the name of Rapapa Hishita, that everybody in the mishnah believes siman ayusudi deres is a good siman. Ah, so what is the machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda? Umavirin alo chlin. Another given is that people pass by food. They're arguing about passive simanim. What does that mean, passive simanim? The Tanakhama sever siman abba me'lav lo avi siman. A siman that happens by itself is not a siman. What does it mean that it's a siman that happens by itself? Rashi says, ha-ra'ui lo avi me'lav. It doesn't mean that it happened passively, but it's a siman that could commonly happen by itself. For instance, a coin inside of a kikar. The fact that there's a coin in a kikar can happen one of two ways. The person baked a coin into the kikar, or the other possibility is that he was, while he was baking, it fell out of his pocket or fell out of his hand, a coin, into the dough, and it ended up by accident there was a coin inside the kikar. So Rashi says it's a siman, ha-ra'ud l'bomila. So here I pick up the kikar, I have a coin inside of it. Is this an intentional siman, or is this an unintentional siman? I mean, unintentional siman means it's not a siman. Right, which of it? So because there's a possibility that it could have come by itself, according to Rashi, that's sufficient to tell me what? That it's not a good siman. So that's the summary of Sabar Siman Abba Me'lav, Lo Abi Siman. Rabbi Yehuda Sabar, Abi Siman. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, believes that it is a good siman. Even if it could happen by itself, according to Rashi, that is sufficient, because we say it was intentionally placed there. We make the assumption that it was intentionally placed there and didn't happen by itself. Now, Tosfos, of course, jumps in Rashi and says, Peirush Rashi, and he says, V'kasha, Dein derech latei ma'ut b'kikar l'siman. When's the last time a guy stuck a coin into a piece of bread to be a siman? doesn't seem very plausible.
Yes,
right?
How do you know that there's a coin in the loaf?
Right. Oh, so that's a good, excellent. That's Tosfos' answer. Eliyish Lamar, Dimer Yodo Shinaflo Lusham. The guy knows that the coin fell in there, even though it fell in by itself. Since it happens by itself, since it's not right, noticeable from the outside, you don't have to make an announcement about it because the guy is unlikely to know that there is a coin inside of there. Simanim that are on an animal, unique features to an animal. Of course, you didn't put those unique features into the animal. He was born. The animal was born with these unique features. Those, of course, have a siman kevishinikar, because they're obvious from the outside. You could identify, the owner would know about them because they are visible to him every day. And like you're saying, David, the person who finds it is aware of the fact that there's simanim. The person who has it in there will rely on that person to announce because of those simanim. Also, even though something's not visible from outside, if it's not usual to be there, then it also will be a siman. What you're asking David is, how does he know about it? Must be. He starts to cut into the loaf and he bumps into a coin. Right? So then he's got to announce it. I mean, obviously it's not where he puts a metal detector and he sees that there's a coin inside the bread. He has to have, obviously, some interaction with the bread to find it there. But Tosfos draws a very big distinction here. He says, has to do with the fact that if the object is there, will the party whose object they didn't know about it, he'll know about it, then of course it's a siman. If he doesn't know about it, it won't be a siman. And that's the issue of whether siman babay elav. Will he know better, will he not know better? As opposed to Rashi. Rashi says it's just a question of what's the likelihood it was placed here as a siman. I mean, it's not about whether the babay would know it or not. It has to do with, does this siman fall by itself? Or is this a siman that he would have known about beforehand? Because he would have placed it there intentionally. Tosfos says nobody places coins into Kikarot intentionally. It always happens passively. Question is, if it happened passively, was he aware of it? And that's the question. Awareness versus intent. Actually, Tosfos focused on intent. Tosfos is focused on awareness.
See, I would have thought that it would be more likely to happen intentionally than unintentionally. Or who makes a loaf and a bread in such a way that a coin could fall into it?
Yeah, it's going. His wife asked him for some change, or you know, gives him change, and it drops in by accident when they're passing it.
So you have to think it that way.
I don't agree with you. It's not such a simple case. All right. Okay. Now, the Rabba, what's Rabba going to do? Rabba solved the problem of our Mishnah. Explain the Mishnah.
Confusing money and the slang use of bread.
So Rabba answered up the Mishnah over here and said, "Oh, the Mishnah is all about a case where it's siman, absolutely deris. It's a siman that will get wiped out. But that's a good siman. That doesn't work well for Rabba. So what does Rabba do? Rabba Amar Lachta. Rabba said, you, the Kuli Amma, siman absolutely deris, lo abi siman. Of course, Rabba Lashita Do, he says that everybody in the Mishnah agrees that a siman is that it's going to eventually be trampled. It's not a good siman. And of course, that's what Rabba said to us above, that people don't pass by bread, that they are compelled to pick up the bread because there's an Isur to pass by the bread. They're arguing again about passive simanim. Tanagama is never the Abi Siman. The Tanagama holds it's not a Siman. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, have a Siman. Again, Akogos Rashi spoke, how you would learn whether it's a Siman or not a Siman. I'll just point out here, I didn't point it out by the Mishnah. Actually, it was on Shabbos, that's why I didn't point it out to you. But the Mishnah Rashi tells us when they explain this case of Kikarot Shel Nachtom, if you look, Rashi explains the case of Kikarot Shel Nachtom in the Mishnah. Interesting, he says it's the case. B'maya siman, k'richot shel rishut rabim, what does he say? Maya siman, nikshar aleihem, hari nishchat. Doesn't matter if there's a siman there, because it would be trampled. That's the way Rashi explains the Mishnah. Rashi is obviously explaining the Mishnah according to Rabbah. Right? He only explains it according to Rabbah. Strange that Rashi does that, because Rabbah, the Alpha is like Rabbah. Number two is, why did he only pick one of the two opinions in the Gemara to explain the Mishnah that way? Tosfos, a large Tosfos here on the Mishnah, and Tosfos goes out of his way to explain the Mishnah both according to Rabba and according to Robo. To say, how do they explain all the cases in the Mishnah? Meaning that, if you say, like now, the Gemara just had all these anachot, all these assumptions, when you have all those assumptions, that explain all the cases in the Mishnah. So Tosfos goes out of his way, explains it according to Rabba, and then explains it according to Robo. Just interesting that Rashi was on Tofes and Rabba and only explained the Mishnah according to Rabba. But don't worry, if it's a Siman, it would have been wiped out. Right, so it's interesting. Just noting as here, we're in the Machlokas, where they're discussing what their opinions are in the Mishnah. All right, now the Gemara says, "Ikadam."
I wonder if Rashi does that because it's easier to understand the Mishnah going to Rabbah. so you really...
Right, Rashi does sometimes do that, where the Rashi will explain the Gemara according to the Havamina. Rashi will not explain the Mishnah according to the Maskana, but according to the Havamina, so it's, the Gemara is understandable later on. Here it's a little harder, because both pinions have room to fit into the Mishnah, so I think it's harder to say that in Rashi here. Just, I just make an interesting note if you want to look into it more. Okay, Ikadamri, what does it say? No. Savruah, they know that the Machlok is the way Rashi says the Ikadamri is, that when we said this, Lema Katanai, it isn't a Tanai, Machlok is Tanai between Rabo and Rava, but Lema Katanai is about Mavrin al Ochlin. Let's say Lema Katanai, because I followed the Sugya of Mavrin al Ochlin. Let us say it's a Machlok is Tanai, whether people are allowed to, or whether people do pass by Ochlin, not how is that? Savruah, the Kuli Amon Siman by Avavi Siman. Everybody believes a passive siman is a good siman. Siman is the race lo avi siman. A siman that will be trampled is not a siman. So this is like rabo. The two and a half the two givens here are, it's like rabo. And number two is that passive siman are a good siman. So again, if you want to upend this or change the mission, you can just eliminate one of these two and a half. Right, my love, bamvirin alo chlim kamiflege. They're arguing about whether you can be mavir alo chlim or not. To marsavar mavirin or marsavarin mavirin. Now, focus on a Mishnah turning Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir is whether people are Mavir al Ochlim or not. Amar Rav Zvid Mishmeh the Rav, so Rav Zvid in the name of Rav says the same question he had on the previous way that we set up the Mishnah. If you believe that the Tanakama's position is like Rabbah, which is a Siman, a Sudi the race, a Siman that will be trampled is not a Siman. And number two, Mavir al Ochlim, right, and that's the opinion. The Machlok is that whether Mavir or not Mavir, and the Tanakama believes you are Mavir al Ochlim. Again, the same problem that we noted above. And if you have then kikarocho balabait, which are private, right, bread, which has identifying marks on them, why do you have to be machriz and reshutarabim? It's going to be nidras. It's going to be nidras. Why is it going to be nidras? Number one, it's reshutarabim. Number two, mafrin al ochlin. People don't stop for ochel. And number three, now we're holding the gravel, which says siman es suli deris, right, is not a good siman. So why do you have to be machriz and reshutarabim?
What do you say about the other thing?
Right, but here the Gemara is focused on this Magrin al
Ochlin. But I understand, but what, in other words, it doesn't have to automatically follow that.
Right, it could be. Those could be other assumptions over here. Tosus takes, I'll tell you, just because you asked the question, I'll tell you, Tosus takes issue with the whole question of the Gemara when it came to Nachri. So it says, why did the Gemara ask about Nachri at all? He says, what's the implications of the question here? So Tosus says, the Gemara, he says, Vim Teima. Right, he says, Malo Nachrim Shaklilet. Maybe the Nachris will pick it up. Forget about the Bidorets on it. Maybe they'll pick it up. So he says, Yesh Lomar, the Drisa Shkiach. It's common people to step on it. Vilam Shum Kshafim. Had it not been for Kshafim. The Fish of Dorsim, Derechim Ucham. People, they're walking. They just happen to be walking. It comes by it. Aval Nitzila Alo Shkiach. People are afraid. This is what he says. People are afraid to pick it up. Shirim Shabala Kikaru Eh. That the owner of the boat is looking, so they're afraid to pick it up. So they won't pick it up. Walking and being Doris on it, that would happen. Alright, now, he says, but it's Kasha. He says, based on this, that how can we worry about the fact that Nachum will walk on it, right? Maybe before a Jew will get there, and then they won't have to do Machriz. He says, Adraba, Nichush the Rov Yisrael. Why don't we say the Rover Jews? The Rover Jews over here, then maybe a Jew picked it up first, and that's what his assumption is. That's why it's a good Siman. It should be Machriz on it. Shereem Kikar, Bigbil, Benechush the Chumro, the Chaybel Achroza. Who cares whether the goyim are nidras or not nidras? If they're the miut here, let them announce it.
Who said that they're miut?
Oh, so the bein by the meimar dafilu rov nachrim plige rabbanon, and he says that later on the gemara it seems that even when we have rov nachrim mechayil achriz, you're chayil to be machriz. Even when it's rov nachrim, there's a chiyut to be machriz. Maybe that some of the non-Jews would have taken it. Despite that fact, there's still a chiyut to be machriz. So it says, and afilu Shmuel, even according to Shmuel, says, by mamon, ein ochim acharov, over here, eich adalekha chazaka modeh. Where there is no chazaka, then he is modeh where ochim acharov, right? So, why over here don't we say, again, go after the rov, by the chachamim, and we don't say that. Even we say, even though you could have said ochim acharov, by mamon, and don't announce it, the chachamim insist that you're machriz, even when it is a rov nachrim. So what is the Gemara asking over here? What does the Gemara want to know? Even if it's rov nachrim, you're chayav lachriz. Here where it's a miut, right? And the reason to say they won't pick it up. What's the Gemara's question at all? He says, and Tosis makes a comment at the end, and he leaves it with Tarachion, and he says, That any chance you have to return the object to the person, we're machmir, to be machriz, in order to ensure that the money gets back to its original owners. And he says, Vim Kane, my party hockey. I don't know what the Gemara is after over here. Tosus leaves it at Serachiyun. And a little bit, so your questions, again, according to Tosus, the whole sequence of the Gemara over here was not really, he doesn't really see it as a question. So to later on now, to come back now and say, oh, you know, the issue here is about whether it's Nachri or Klavim and Behemot. He said, Tosu sees it as less likely because he thinks that the questions up there were even, you gave the sugya, you weren't even so betokev. I wasn't going to speak to Tosu, but because you asked.
Inside to be makers anyway.
Right. So since you're going to be makers anyway, the only question is whether Jews will pick it up or not, because that will determine the psychology of the individual left there, whether he thinks he's getting it back or not. If he thinks he's getting it back, then it's a good siman, and you have to be machliz. If he doesn't think he's getting it back, he had yeush, and then it's not the siman's not meaningful anymore. And then people will be doresed. So that's why the only issue is really about what the Israel will do, because that's really the focus of the hachraza. Alright, so anyway, you get the same answer, the wide lines, in the wide line in the Gemara. Amar Rav Zvid Mishmei the Rava, of course we'll solve the problem the same way we did last time. Yitzakadat pasavar tanakama siman asuli deres lo avi siman. Right. Again, if you think it's a siman that will be the race, it's not a siman. Plus, then why are you machriz by kikarot balavayit? Alam Rav Zvid Mishmei the Rava, the kulei amasavrei. Everybody holds siman asuli the race. Have a siman. Siman will be trampled is a good siman. Rava l'shita to. Umavirin al ochlin, and people do pass by ochel v'ocha b'siman abam medav kamiflege. Again. Sets up the machlokes the same way as we did before. The machlokes in Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, and the Mishnah is whether a passive siman is a good siman. Tanakam is a siman abam elav lo abi siman. It's not a good siman. Rabbi Yehuda sever abi siman. According to Rashi, that means was it intentionally or not intentionally placed there? That's what we're questioning. According to Tosfos, is it awareness? Is he aware of it or not aware of the fact that it's there? Rabbi Amar Lachan, Rabbi asked the answer to Shitato. The kuli yama siman asuli deres lo abi siman. If it was eventually going to be trampled, it's not a good siman. And the Shittato above, he says that Jews don't pass by Ochel. Therefore, it won't be Nitan Lidereis here. Again, they're arguing about passive simanim. Right, Rabbi Meir believes it's not a good siman. That's why when you can walk by, you can keep the kikarot. You can keep a kikar with ma'ot in it, and you can keep a tevela with cheres in it. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, Savar, Avi Siman, it is a good siman. Siman Abay Elav is good, either because, again, he intentionally placed it there, according to Rashi, according to Tosus, he's aware of the fact that it is there. So now, Amar Rav Zvid Mishmei the Rava, so this is a very important principle. This is the principle of Yeush. Klaula Daveda. This is the general principle of Aveda. Kevin da Amar, once the owner says, Vaila b'chisaron kis, you know, woe is me, it's enough, I lost the money, you know, it's down the drain, spilled milk. Any one of those expressions, then Yayush Mine. That is Yayush. You want to know what Yayush? Yayush is when he says, I lost it. Basically, he gives up hope. He's lost the money. Thinks that it's gone. So Amar Zvid Mishmei the Rava, Hilchasa. The loch is pre-quote Bishut Rabim, Arei Elu Shelo. Little piles in Rishut Rabim are his. That's the Mishnah, right? Rishut Yachid, if it's in Rishut Yachid, it's going to depend. E Derech Nefila, Arei Shelo. If they are Derech Nefila, they fell, which means that the Balim are unaware of the fact that they are there and they've fallen down, Ariel Shalom, they're his. If they were placed there intentionally, Notel Umachriz. Then he goes ahead and he announces it. Why? Because then Makom is a Siman. Remember, Rava believes Makom is a Siman. Makom can be a Siman when it's intentionally placed there. If it falls, how can you claim that Makom is the Siman? The guy's not aware that it ever fell there. So how can it be a Siman? That's as long as the object has no other identifying mark or siman in it. Because then what is the only thing that is the siman is the makom. So the makom can only be a siman when you intentionally place it there. On the other hand, if it has another identifying mark, chutz min makom, besides the place that it's in, lo shna b'shut harabim, lo shna b'shut yachid, ben derech nefila, ben derech hanacha, chayav lachriz. Then in all cases, he is obligated to be machriz when there is a siman here. This is Rava l'shita to. Why? Rava l'shita is, number one, again, makom is a siman. So makom is a siman, right, when it is in the Rishut Arachid. When it's out in the Rishut Arabim, siman is not a makom. Why? A makom is not a siman. Why? We saw that in the Gemara, because the end of yesterday's daf, top of the Zamud, is that after the minshava, right? That it get kicked around. Makom is not significant because it's going to move from the makom. So you'll never have, where you picked it up is unlikely where it was dropped, right? It's unlikely those are the two, you're identifying the same place because it probably moved from the place that it was dropped. So Bishut Rabim, makom is not a siman. Number two, Bishut Yachid, makom is a siman, but only if you can say that it was placed there intentionally. If it was placed there intentionally, that means makom, he can identify the makom according to Rashi, he can identify the Avedah, because he'll know where it was dropped. On the other hand, if it's derech nefilah, if it just fell there, the balabayit or the balim have no clue where it was dropped, that's so they can't identify the makom.
That's Shuta Yachid.
Right, maybe Shuta Yachid. So that's Rabba again, the Shittato. Now, continuing Rabba, the Shittato, is if it, this is all when it does not have any other siman. If it does have a siman, then you're chayav l'chayav not only Shuta Yachid, but even Shuta Rabim. Why Shuta Rabim? Because Rabba believes, siman hati v'dires, siman that will be trampled is still a good siman. And since it's still a good siman, even after it will be trampled in the future, therefore you have to renounce it because it is a good siman, even in Rishut Rabbin. So when I say Hilchasa here, this is, right, Rav Zvid is basically laying out Rabba the Shittato. He's framing Rabba the Shittato. Right, of course, he's laying it out in the name of Rabba, but Rabba the Shittato, that it is, right, Bishum, Malkum is siman, and a siman as soon as there is a siman. Right now, the Gemara is
good. Yeah, that's fine. So the other day, when someone was there in the Filada, it seems like a normal scenario that somebody's carrying a bunch of stuff, a burden, and something falls, hands them, they can't really pick it up. So they go, okay, I'm going to go, put this down, and I'm going to come down and get what fell. Right? I mean, that's, why is that possibility never, not accounted for?
I become aware of it. Where the Balim become aware of it, they could become aware of it. There might be a series of places between the time that they became aware and where it fell. So once you do that, you lose, number one, you lose this idea of Makom. Number two is the other possibility is that a person may believe that just like something of mine fell here, someone else's stuff fell here. So how do I know, part of the psychology here, whether there's Yeush, or whether the person's going to depend on the Siman, is whether the Baal Bayit thinks someone's going to pick it up and think it's theirs, or think that there's something unique about the location. If they think three other people are going to drop their stuff there, they have no clue, the guy's going to walk away with it, then the Balim don't depend on the person who picks it up. Right, that'll be a little bit later today. Today's Gemara is going to discuss it. Now, the Gemara is going to go through the rest of the cases in the Mishnah and discuss what is the reason that you do not have to identify the objects in the Mishnah? Why do they not have simanim? Why are they called Harayu Shalom? The first thing the Gemara deals with is Machuzot Shel Dagim. Right, these are strings of fish. Amai. Why shouldn't it be that strings of fish are considered to have simanim? Why? Kesher siman. Let us say that the knot, by the way in which they are knotted onto the string, should be a siman, because every person knots in their own unique way. And because of that unique knot, therefore you should be able to identify the fish on the string. The Gemara says, well, because of the side, though, talking about the fisherman's knot, the kuleyama of the mikatre. The fisherman's knot was a standard knot. And if it's a standard knot, then you can't have it. There's nothing identifiable, or that you can't create. This is not a unique feature to these fish. So Mar says, "Lavi minyan siman." Says, let us say that the number of fish on the string is also a siman. Why does every string have to have the same number of fish on it? Mar says, "Biminyan of the shavin." There was obviously some sort of, like, eggs are sold as a dozen today. There was some sort of standard number of fish that were on a string, and whatever that number was. But that was something that was common to all stringed fish, that there was a number that was not necessarily unique. So Mar says, "Baminei Rav Sheshet, minyan ma habisiman olo habisiman." Now,
can we assume from the Gemara just said things that string of fish that's probably not in the fisherman's knot would be a good siman, and something that has a non-standard number would be a good siman?
Yes, that is, yes. I mean, yes, that would be a conclusion of the Gemara. The Gemara is now just querying that. Gemara says, "Baminei Rav Sheshet, minyan habisiman olo habisiman." His underlying assumption that minyan would have been good enough. They asked Rav Sheshet, is it a good siman or not siman? So I'm a little Rav Sheshet, didn't do up. We learned it. We learned it already. Right? So, ma? Matzakli kesef, uklei nechoshet. If you find silver or copper utensils, gistaron shel ever, pieces of, it's like broken pieces of lead, v'chokli matechot, or any metallic, right, utensil, harze lo yachzir, you don't return it, achitain ot, until he gives some sort of siman. O, achi kavein mishkelotav. Or he knows the exact weight of the utensil. So again, here they're talking about precious metals. So if he knows how much the utensil weighs, I mean, how much precious metal is in this utensil, if that's enough of an identifying feature. If I can tell you that this weighs, 3 kilo, exactly 3 kilo, that's a feature that only the owner would have known. Right? Unless, of course, it's a standard, right, that every cup is made in this way. But assuming it's not a standard, the weight is an identifying feature. O de mishkal avisiman, mida uminyan avisiman. If weight is a siman, that means dimensions, right, and number will be a siman. They're all categories. According to appreciation, they're all categories. They're all one unique category. Because they're a unique category of dimensions, weight, number, things that are something that only the balabayit, only the owners would know about. Therefore, all of them are valid simanim. So that's your question. Yes, siman is a niminyan is a valid type of siman. Those are the bigger questions. The idea that it sounds from this Gemara that mida is adifa, that dimensions are more unique than weight. And that if you know the weight, fine. But if you know the weight, certainly someone who knows the dimensions, that would be considered a good siman. So it says that the Gemara later on, you're going to see later on, seems to look the other way. That what is a person you get, who, if you have a machlok, if two people show up, one gives the weight of the object and one gives the dimensions of the object, you give it to the person who gives the weight. So there it sounds like weight is a better object. So he says, that's only true, v'yesh lomar, hanimili bebeget. He says, it's only true of a clothing. Why? Someone who knows the weight of the clothing, right, that is something, nobody weighs their clothing. People know the dimensions of clothing, right? I mean, even if you didn't know, you could know there's maybe standard dimensions. A person can get the dimensions of clothing. Person knows the weight of a clothing. Let me tell you something. It's his. Right? Because that nobody else would weigh the clothing. It doesn't make any sense.
Exactly. I can make a couple pounds of pants.
So the fact that he knows the weight, that's so unique. But in other situations where weight is not an unusual factor, where weight and dimensions are equally, right, like here, the dimensions of the cup, how much it would hold, right? The volume of the cup versus the weight of the cup. Those are equal, maybe equal sorts of things. And therefore, over there, midah would take on just, or be as good or better than mishkal. So Tosfos says mishkal is only unique or even better when it comes to mishkal, where it just, he shouldn't know that information. And if he knows that information, it's clearly his. All right, now, chatikot shel basar, you find pieces of meat. V'amai, l'havi mishkal asiman. Why isn't the weight of the meat, right? Why isn't that an identifying feature? Gemara says, Mishkala d'shekin. You sell wheat in a standard weight. So you can't, the Mishkala's not, again. So Gemara says, Davi ha'tricha gufa siman. The cut itself should be a siman. Meaning, the butchers cut the meat, right, in different ways, or the type of meat that it is, right? The type of meat, the cut of meat that it is, the dafka, the atma. So Rashi brings down two opinions of what a dafka is. A dafka is either tzavar, he says, shemati. He says, I heard a neck, right? Or mishum Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Nachman, shemati, the dafka flunkin. Makom shetofek, shu, you got, right, that the flank, right, the side of the behemah, the dofek, right, the dofek, which is the wall, right, or the side, right, that is a cut of meat, right? He's talking about the flank cut, or the atma is the thigh cut. So different pieces of meat. I mean, if you can tell us what type of meat it is. Omar says, Milo Tanya, don't we have a price? We find sliced fish. Or dag mashuch. Or a fish that has a bite into it. Chayab achriz. Because those are unique figures. See my name. Chaviot shol yayin, v'shol shemen, v'shol tvu'a, v'shol gugurot, v'shol zetim, or yosholo. Talking about barrels of wine, oil, right, grains, or gugurus, or dried figs, shezeitim, or olives, harei shalom, you can keep them. So where it says, hachol ma'eskinan, b'te'ika simana b'pasko. Says, no, that is not true. When we say that cuts are a siman, that is when it's not a cut of meat, right? That butchers cut their meat. If you go into the store and you ask for, give me a thigh, or give me a ribs, in general, you're going to get the similar type of cut. If that's the case, then there's nothing unique about this cut of meat. What do I mean when a cut of meat is unique? That is when the simana paskva, it's an unusual, right, type of cut. What is that? Ki had rabba baravuna, practically atlata karnata. When he used to send meat to his wife, that's the case of him, he was sending meat to his wife, he used to cut off the corners, he used to make it into a triangle. Right? Since he makes it into a triangle, that is something, if I tell you, listen, I lost a triangle piece of meat, that already is something that's so unique, right, that you can consider that a siman. Because nobody, how many pieces of meat are cut like a triangle? That's just not, that's something unusual. Since it's unusual, that's a siman. That's what the price is talking about. But our Mishnah, when it's talking about chatikot shel basar, they're talking about generic cuts of meat. Generic cuts of meat do not have a siman in them. Gemara says, dekanami. Right? It can infer that you're right, this explanation of the Brisa is right. Yutani dumia de dad mashuch. It's similar to a fish that has a bite into it. Right? Shmamina. What does it mean, similar to a fish that has a bite in it? That is a siman. If I tell you that the fish that I lost had a big bite in it, right, that's something that not every fish has. That's unique enough to this fish that you can say it's a siman. So it's over here. When we say chatichot basar, cuts of meat, it's got to be something that's unique about the cut, and that's only when it's a personal cut, we'll call it. Right, a personal cut. So now, what about the second half of this price? So, Amamar. Chaviot shel yayin, v'shel shemen, v'shel tuvav, v'shel grugrot, v'shel zeitim. So all these barrels, harayel v'shelo, they all belong to him. Where it says, v'atznan, don't we have a mishnah, kade yayin, kade shemen, hayav l'achris? When it comes to barrels of wine and oil, you have to announce. Right? You have to give them, you have to be machris on this. So that's the case. Why does the price say you don't have to be machris? So Amar Abzera Marab Matznitin Birushon. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where it was Rishon. Right? So now, the Gemara says, Michlal. I'll explain in a second what Rishon means. Rishon means sealed. Just call it that for right now. What does Rishon mean? Sealed. Michlal, from this we can infer, right, that Brisa b'fatuach. That Brisa is talking about a case where it's open. The barrel's open. Iba tuach aveda midati. If you find an open barrel of wine or a barrel, you know, of olives hanging out in the Shut the Rabim out there, what do you mean you have to be machriz? What is even the thought that you'd have to do anything with this? That's a veda midat. He's leaving out there. He's got to assume it's gone. He's leaving out open barrels of wine and olives out in the Shut the Rabim. It can't be that. It says, Aroshia b'metzif. It's a case of metzif. Right, now, what is the difference between Rishon and metzif? Right, so now, Rishon is something that is sealed. Metzif, all right, is, if you look in Rashi, metzif sheniach megufa aleh. Right, that he left the seal on it, below sarka b'tit. Right, he left the cover on it, but he didn't seal it entirely with tit, with plaster. Right, so then it's a siman leka. There is no siman here, but aveda midat nami leka. Right, it's an in-between case. It's a case where he covered the barrel, but he didn't seal the barrel. So when you cover the barrel, there's no siman here. But when you seal it, right, there is. When you do this rishon, then when you do seal it that way, it is unique. Why is that? So Rashi explains, what is rishon over here? So you look back in Rashi, he says, v'mei shvat o nisan. In the time of the springtime, shemochrim balei batim chaviot lechen bani. When the balei batim go and sell their barrels to the storekeepers or to the wholesalers, whoever they sell it to, ke'eser or ketet vav yachad, 10 or 15 together. What do? They unseal the barrels. When they want to, when they have the wine in the barrels, right, they leave them sealed so the wine won't, right, ferment and turn into, I mean, it'll ferment, but it won't turn into vinegar. They seal it. That's how they make wine today too. You put them into sealed barrels and then you keep them there. Now it comes to the time they want to sell to the chenvani. Nobody's buying sight unseen here. Nobody buys a barrel of wine without tasting the wine first. So they uncover, they undo the seals on the barrels in order to look at it. Then, once they reseal it, when they reseal it, they don't seal it like the first time, but they seal it with enough, a better seal than simply covering it, they seal it with tit. Alright? That's called a roshim. Right, so that's the case. So our case for our Mishnah is a case where it's Rishuma, and that's the case of a resealed barrel. And Rashi calls that a siman. He says, Yesh Roshmim, Yesh Nosim Ota Ptucha L'Mochra Miyad. Because why is it resealing the barrel a siman? Because Rashi says that when the Chenvani comes, the storekeeper comes and takes the wine from you, there are two ways he can take it out from you. He's opened it up to taste it. He can either have it resealed, or he can take it open and sell it. He's going to sell it right away in the store. So he takes it open with the cover and just takes it to his store right away and ready to sell. He doesn't want to reseal it. Then he has to unseal it again to take it to the store. So Rashi says, since sealing is not a given, during the springtime when they're selling it to the Chenvani, sealing is not a given. So since it's not a given, if you say, I lost sealed barrels, that is a siman. That's what Rashi says, because there are many people who walk away with the unsealed barrels. So having a siman, resealing is a barrel. Mitzif, that's the case of our Mishnah. In that case, you have to be machris. Case of the Brisa is where he covers it, but he doesn't seal it. That's what everybody does. Everybody recovers it and doesn't seal it. So there is no siman, because it's, even though it's not a veda midat, it's still not something where you can claim a unique feature to the barrel. Now, Tosfos points out over here, Bereshon, Shekol HaBalabayit Oseh Rishimato Mishunah Mishel Chaveiro. So Tosfos adds an added dimension here, which you have to really say, because Rashi always says that some people seal it, some people don't reseal it. Alright, so a number of people do reseal it. If enough people reseal it, why is it a siman anymore? So that's what Tosfos says. Tosfos says that everybody's seal is unique. The way people seal their barrels, that's unique. And then if you say that, okay, once it's sealed, plus, we know once it's sealed, it's unique to the Baal HaBayit, that is the siman. If it's covered without being sealed, that you have no siman here anymore. If it's Rashum, Rashi just says the simple fact that it's Rashum is a siman. So it says, no, you need to have it, that Rashum, that each Rishima, each sealing, is a unique feature. Amar Abai, somebody says, Afilu Teima Idividi Rashum. It's both a case where they were resealed. Below Kasha. That depends when he's selling, when we find this resealed barrel. What is that? Now, niftuchu atzarot is the springtime when they open up the, I mean, it's the main selling season. It's the main selling season. So during the main selling season, everybody opens up their barrels and reseals them. So resealing your barrel during that time period is not a unique feature set. And from here, it sounds like Rashi actually believes, right, that more like Rashi, that it's not unique to the Baal HaBayit, but it's rather resealing it, right, is now no longer a siman because everybody is resealing their barrels. But la bifnei, right, kodem shniftechu atzarot, nobody opens up their barrels. It'd be unusual for someone to open up their barrel before the main selling season, and therefore if you find a barrel with a resealing on it, again, which is different than the original seal of a barrel, that is a unique feature set. Why? Because nobody is resealing their barrels now. So since you're the only guy who has a resealed barrel because you bought it off season, if you bought it off season, you have the resealing over here. That is a form of siman. So Tosfos says over here, Abaye Amar, Tosfos says, Afilu Rashum lo bi siman, achar shniftechu atzarot. Once the atzarot are opened up, Rashum is not a siman. Shebal habayit achad mocher leharbei chenvanim. Tosfos has to deal with this issue. Rashi is kavanati here. Because Rashi says originally that Roshem itself is not unique to any Baal HaBayit. The fact that it is sealed is already a siman. Right, so Rashi is more difficult than the first part of the Gemara. Now Rashi is easy because Rashi just says, if it's Rashum when everybody else is Rashum, there's no siman there. Whereas if it's Rashum when off-season, then that's something unusual and that's a siman. Tosfos now runs into a problem. Why? Because Tosfos said that Rashum is such a good siman, then how can Tosfos say he's already over the roads, right? It's not a good siman. So Tosfos says, because one Baal HaBayit sells to multiple storekeepers. So the siman is not a siman, not because it's not unique to the Baal HaBayit, but because the Baal HaBayit sells to so many people, it could belong to more than one storekeeper. It's not unique to this storekeeper that he bought from this Baal HaBayit. Five storekeepers could have bought from this Baal HaBayit, and all of them have that same siman. So you showing up with this siman is not unique to you. That's unique, that's common or shared amongst five other people. And that's why it's not a good siman. So Tosfos has to explain it that way in order to get around his issue. Around. That's what Tosfos says right out, that he thinks Rashi's explanation is incorrect over here.
It's funny, Dafin says it here.
It's more difficult for him.
I think it's the defense mechanism.
Rashi was a visitor.
You're right, he was. That's right, his family. Right.
The best defense is offense.
Rabbi Yaakov Barabo, Rabbi Yaakov says, Ashka chavita dechamra, la'ochra shniftechu atzarot. He found a barrel of wine after, you mean, on season, in season, right? Atel kamei de'abai, came to buy your malay, zil shakol enafsheh, it's yours. Because once we're in season, there's nothing to talk about, because there are no unique features anymore. Since there's no unique feature set, you can keep it. Barini Rabbi Bibi Rav Nachman. So Rabbi Bibi asked Rav Nachman, Makom havi siman, o lo havi siman? Basically, he's asking him, Rabo or Rabo, right? Is Makom a siman or not? So I'm related to Nitua. We have a price, we have a six points. Matzach, Rabbi Yoshua Yaim, Shul Shem, Shul Tuba, Shul Gurot, Shul Zaitim, Rabbi Yoshua Lop. That was all him. Visa, Kadacha, the Makom of a siman, Lichroz Makom. If you think that Makom is a siman, then let him announce the placement of these items. So I'm Ravzid, Ocha Maiskina, and Berikta Denaro. No, we're talking about the dock. So we're talking about the docks. The docks are where people are unloading their stuff off the boat. So when they're unloading their merchandise, their commercials, the items that they purchased, a boat shows up with a bunch of wares on it, and then the buyers come and they buy whatever commerce, whatever merchandise is being sold by the boat, and they take it. Once they bought it, they take it off the boat, and they put it on the dock. And then they come back and forth to pick up what they left on the dock. Now, if somebody leaves something on the dock, there's nothing unique about that makom. Everybody who buys merchandise from this boat is going to place it on the dock. So the placement of the dock is not a unique makom. And that's why over here. So it's got to do with that they're in a place that the makom itself is not a unique feature, and therefore it's not a siman. So Amar Rav Mari, my time on Rabbanan, with the Tanar Adav is siman. Why do people, why do Rabbanan say that the dak is not a siman? Darminan lay, ki heichet yitrami li didach, yitrami nam lechabrech. So just like whatever happened to you could have happened to your friend. I mean, oh yeah, you forgot something on the dock? Another guy might have forgotten something on the dock. Right? So if that's the case, right, then there's nothing to talk about. Your makom is not a siman, because when you tell makom, when you tell the aveda, even if he gives you the makom, might be that your neighbor has the same problem. There's no way to say that this is unique. This circumstance is unique to you. Igadamri, I'm Rabbari, my time, I'm Rabbana, makom lavi siman. Tamilia kehechi tidram lididach. Hi makom, yitrami nam lechavrech, hi makom. Because then, what is the reasoning over here? The reason is because whatever the placement, right, is that happened to you could have just as equally happened to your friend. Right, so now the nafkamina between them is, even if he intends, that even if he intends for this location or a specific location, we can say to him, makom is not, according to the second mandarma here, even if he tells you what the location is, we can say to him that this is not a unique location. Why? Because maybe your friend also put something down there. Who says that you two are the only person who used this as a stopping space? Who says that's unique to you at all? So therefore, makom would not be a siman. Or, according to the first reasoning, it's only in a location where multiple people use it do we say that makom is not a unique feature set. But in a place that where you put it down, where not everybody would normally put it down, that would be enough for a siman. For a siman, that's the meaning between the two lishonot over here. It's whether this is a generic statement about any makom, we can say to him, too bad. Other people could have used the location, or it's only where it's a common place that everybody puts the same thing down that we say to them, listen, you don't have anything unique here. You have nothing on here.
So, even Dharma seems to, as Rabbi, reject totally the idea of a country being a siman.
Right, right.
But also, Rabbi, because if they're only cholik in a place that's special, I mean, special is not special for multiple people to put it there.
Well, that's Ikudama. Ikudama says no matter where you put it, that other people could have done the exact same thing you did. That's basically the claim here.
Right,
it's not unique.
Right, so they would definitely also travel and rub, and then they hold like rubber. That's no
right.
But according to the first parish,
it could be even according to rubber. I think that it probably is rubber. It's because, first of all, Rabbi is the one who said,
right,
and now here you have him partly explaining this case. I think that rubber would definitely say that. He's saying, Makom Siman when it's unique. If it's not unique, you can't claim it as a Siman. That's, I think Rebbe would agree to that. Right now, how about Gavra? Dashka Kufra Beimetz Arta. So he found Kufra, he found Zephet, he found some tar, pitch, right, that is not unique, Beimetz Arta, right, in the Beit Abad, right, in the olive press or where the press is. Adam Kameh Rav, they came before Rav, I'm like, Shakal and Afshech, take it for yourself. Chazit Ha'av Kameh Chasim, he saw that he was hesitant to take it, that he didn't feel comfortable taking this item. He says, give half of it to my son, Chia. So Rav says, you know what, if you're not comfortable, give half of it to my son. I mean, he was trying to show him that the Loch was definitely this way, that he was comfortable enough to say, give half to my son, let my son have half of it. So Lema Kasaba Rav, Makom Lavi Siman. Let us say that Rav holds Makom is not a Siman, like Rabo. Rav Mishum Yehush Balim Nagupa. Why? Then here we're talking about, Yehush Balim. Here it's a unique case. Why? The Chazal come in Kafe Bei Chalfe. Right, because he sees, what does he see here? He sees that a mold had grown on it. Right, that the item had been there, I say mold, or something had grown on this pitch already, which indicates that it had been there for a long time. So already, if the item has been there for a long time, it's clear that the Balim have given up hope or Miyayish from getting it back. Because the fact that it remained there for so long is that the Balim are not aware of the fact that it's there. Or they haven't even considered the fact that it's there. So already, if it's been there so long, right, then again, Makom is no longer a Siman because it's clear that the Balim are not aware of the fact that it's there. If they're not aware of the fact that it's there, then Makom, the only thing that would have been a Siman, is now gone. If that's the case, there's nothing left that make it a unique feature set, and that's why you let them keep it. Not because Makom is not a Siman, but it has to be in this specific circumstance, Makom is not necessarily a relevant Siman. Right, all right, you know what, we'll stop here. The next sugya is a great sugya. I know I want to do it be even with you guys. I'm going to stop here so that we can spend more time on it tomorrow.